Kelly. Hey, girl.
Hey.
It's always
guess where
the small
I am
things.
Today.
You're in your closet.
I am in my freaking closet. That is right. Looking at all my pathetic shoes. Now I need some new shoes.
Well, I want to fold the clothes behind you if I can. I want you to
give them
to me. I just see a lot of unfoldedness.
You know what? Bill and I, right here, you're looking at these.
Yeah.
So Bill and I both have a shelf we call the not clean, not dirty. That's what you're looking at.
That's like the not clean, not dirty.
It's like I wore these to do something, so they can't really be considered clean. But I want to conserve my laundry efforts, so they're also not quite dirty.
Not clean, so, not dirty. That's actually brilliant. That's brilliant.
And there's a shelf they go on.
I know, right? We get it. We've been there. Beautiful, difficult, hilarious, and gut-wrenching. These are the stories and struggles of being a woman in today's culture and how we grow in the midst of trying to grow up.
IKR is hosted by Allie Patterson and Latasha Patrick and is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.
To the point.
This is way more fun than what we're about to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Switch.
So get us in. I know. This was way too amusing.
I mean, you know, the world is still reeling from COVID and in the middle of reeling and getting back to work and all that kind of stuff. We're also dealing with some very tragic events that have happened in America over the couple of weeks. And we just thought that we would get together and process from all kinds of things coming back and kind of the world returning to a next normal as it relates to COVID. And then in the middle of that, we experienced some major tragedies in our in the world, in America, as it relates to multiple murders by multiple people, specifically done to African-American men and a woman. And then in some instances by police. And so there's just tons of stuff that I thought we should process. And I know people at this point might be tired of processing, but I'm just going to start with, how you doing, girl?
I'm doing, you know, it's, I agree with such a good summary assessment. I don't know that any of us feel normal right now. I don't know that I can't, all the things you just said, it actually brings up all kinds of different emotions in me. And sometimes I wonder what's impacting what in the middle of all of this, like as far as where we all are emotionally and how we're processing both the situation around the pandemic as well as the race tension that's just everywhere in our country as a result of the killings that we've seen go down. And it's, I feel like I'm kind of different every couple of days about it. I would say this week I've bounced between, I spent a couple of days feeling like I just really wanted to dig in as deep as I could to learn and be empathetic to the extreme emotion that I see causing all kinds of things around our country. Some are good, like good causes, some I see as very destructive out of those emotions. And I really just wanted to try to get in a similar emotional place as best I could. Because I think oftentimes that for me, that brings me to compassion a lot quicker than if I just use my head. And then the last day I got a couple comments. I've posted a few things on social media, about my thoughts and feelings about specifically some of the events around George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery's deaths. And on one of my more recent ones, I got a comment that I was like, I need to run this by Latasha and see what she thinks about this.
Ooh.
I felt all kinds of different things about it. Okay, so she said, stop virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling.
And then she went on to say some more about how basically blacks kill blacks at a higher rate than white police officers kill blacks. And some other facts. I didn't know what to do with all that. Frankly, it annoyed and offended me a little bit. I think for me, one important thing to know is that I'm not typically comfortable landing in extremist points of view. Like, I'm usually attempting, I don't necessarily want to ride the middle. That's not what I mean. But I want to be in the middle long enough mm-hmm. to understand what's going on in all directions, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would say generally that's how I try to process things, is to hang out in the middle and leave my mind open to the various things that I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. I'm finding it hard to do that because I'm having emotional reactions and stuff. But one of the things I've heard in the last day or two is all these facts coming out against sort of the rioting, and against the perspective that we really have a big race problem, against the perspective that Black men are killed for being Black. You know, that kind of, that feels hurtful and offensive to me at first blush. And then I go, okay, what is being said here? You know, what am I supposed to make of this? And one of the things that I came away thinking, and I would just love to know, I'm sure you see some of that kind of stuff too. One of the things that I came away thinking is, if I looked only at numbers, which is what those things are attempting to do, then I would miss the unseen. Like, as a Christ follower, I cannot do that. I just don't feel like I can do that. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like what I can do is look at something black and white on a piece of paper by numbers and understand what's going on in our country. And I felt like I've seen several things, including this comment and a news story or two, that are encouraging us to look at things by numbers. And I keep thinking, usually I like that. Like, I mm-hmm. like a good number and bullet point. But in this case, I feel like what's really going on here in our country is there are some, if I don't sound too creepy, some spiritual strongholds, some major unseen spiritual realm things that are being reacted to and reacted against. And I can't just look at the numbers. It's mm-hmm. just not going to give me a full picture. Do you see that kind of stuff? And how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, most people, I don't think, that's funny, most people don't typically approach Black people with numbers that are
Am
anti.
I allowed to laugh at that?
Yeah,
of course,
you can't.
You're right.
I mean, because I'm trying to think, when was the last time, you know, a Caucasian, a white person came to me and said, well, you know, Black people make up, I'm making this up because I don't know if these are the numbers, Black people make up 12% of the United States population, but only 2% of the police shooting. Like, I don't know if that's, right. I have no idea. Let's just pretend those. That would not be an argument that a person that I would spend time with would come, which is actually interesting. It kind of goes to like echo chamber, right? Because if I had
right.
other people in my life who thought that way, maybe I would hear that. But in general, the people that I hang out with think like me in general, which is an echo chamber, which is not necessarily good, which is a whole different story.
Right. Well, I certainly, you know, I thought interesting. She was like scolding me for my yeah. compassion, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Or my empathy or whatever however. And I thought, no, nice try, but no.
Yeah.
I guess the last couple of days I've just been thinking and wanting to ask you, as you look at what's going on in our country, is there a place for both this, I guess I would call it your discernment of what's happening spiritually and in this realm that we can't see, right? That it includes all of our history. It includes fear and anxiety and struggle and all kinds of things that are present in this unseen realm.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also some numbers.
Yeah.
And you're right. I guess it's so good to point out, which you're right. And I didn't even think about the fact that nobody would approach you saying, you should look at this news story that says Black people kill Black people at a much higher rate than white police officers kill Black people. Like, that is not an argument that
right.
someone's going to come to you with.
But I do have a friend. I have a friend who pointed some things out to me that were much further. He sent me a podcast, and it was much further away from where I was at the time. to where I am now. And it continued to reinforce what, when you and I talked before, what you said. And what you said was, this is a matter of the heart. We have dropped a label on it. And maybe for some people, that's helpful to assign it a thing. But the reality is, there are people who believe that other people don't have a right to live in various forms, or they have the right to take their lives. Right. Anybody.
Correct.
Anybody. And until people believe that a human was made in the image of God, that they are an image bearer, then I believe that they would look at me or look at a human and think differently about it, not think that way. Because when you tell me you're a human, I'm like, oh, okay. When you tell me that you're created in the image of God, mm-hmm. I actually, as a believer, I'm like, ah, hold up one second. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, that's a different label. And yeah. It's the truth. And so, and there are people who don't believe in the image of God anyway. And so we're in this world where not everybody is speaking the same language anyway.
Right.
And what I have felt recently is that if only we could get to a similar language, if only we could get to an agreement. But that's mm-hmm. where whoever sent you the post, and maybe my friend who is speaking a different language, and I might be speaking a different language than you, might be speaking a different language, or maybe we have different mm-hmm. dialects, if you will. So maybe we kind of use some of the same. And so not everybody is on this. There is no agreement on life, humanity. There's uh-huh. just not an agreement on life.
You're
and
right.
humanity. And that makes it complicated to engage in this conversation. It's why it's so, mm-hmm. so complicated. It's why your post person, the person who posted, feels so deeply about whatever she said to you, why my friend feels the way that I feel, and why I feel the way that I feel, because mm-hmm. it's a human kind of issue. And I think it would be helpful to do something like take a step back and look at what God says. Like
yes.
God says, God has something to say about people mm-hmm. in general, and their value to the world.
Isn't it crazy that this really is the root of this conversation, that something so, and I don't mean simple, but basic, just in terms of the value of humanity and the
yep.
equal way that we image God.
Yes.
And I use image as a verb there, because we were assigned that. I believe that we were assigned that job by God. If you mm-hmm. read Genesis 1 and 2, you see that he says, go to the earth I'm going to put you on the earth that
That's
I created,
right.
and your job is to be my image bearer.
That's right.
And so I think when I said it, when we were chatting before, I said, it frustrates me that it's a heart problem,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that it is. I believe that it's a deeply imprinted mark of like our sin mm-hmm. and how deep it goes, that we could look at another human being, that we could hear another human being
yep.
tell us that they were being killed, that they could
yes.
not breathe,
yep.
that you're about to take my life, and that it would not move us.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't.
That is right.
That is as deep as it gets in terms of the valuing of all humans
yeah.
as the image of God. And I think sometimes my kids and I were talking about this. I said to them, it's been sweet to have ongoing conversation about this in our family, because I've been able to see that one of my children, I think that God has touched her heart in a special way with this, because she keeps bringing it back up. She keeps wanting to ask questions and talk about it. And she asked me the other night, she said, and I was like, I cried. And then I prayed for her exactly like she asked me to. She said, Mommy, I want more friends that don't look like me.
Aww.
And I was like, let's ask God for them.
Amen. Yes.
Let's just ask God for them.
Yeah.
Because I told her, I said, I can't tell you how long it took me, way more than 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
to get to the point where I realized my own heart was only going to be moved when I valued another human being that didn't look like me, just because I love them.
Yep.
Just because I love them.
Yep.
And I told her, I thanked God for, I had a gymnastics coach. His name was Lewis Robinson. I loved him like a father. Hmm. And he was, I'm going to go late 20s to 30. And I had a handful of years where I was with him 5 days a week. And he was a black man. And he was like somewhere between big protective, big brother and father for mm-hmm. me. And it, I had no idea what that did for my heart until years and years later. Mm. And so when Zoe asked me, she said she wanted more friends that didn't look like her. I said, I think God wants that too. Mm-hmm. And I think if we ask him, he will do that. Yeah. I think that's a prayer he wants to answer, because that is the only thing that makes an imprint deep enough to like that's go right. all the way into my heart is when I love someone that I can feel their value, that I experience it for myself. I don't have to try to mentally convince myself, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll take intellectual convincing over nothing.
Sure. Yes.
But I'll take, learn everybody is worth something and act on it. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But I'd rather be dealing with somebody who was thoroughly convinced in their heart because they've loved, mm-hmm. you know, and they've valued somebody who looked different than them. And
I think,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go finish your thought.
I was only going to say that, and we chatted about this the other day, that her prayer, which was just last night, maybe, or the night before, her prayer made me think of our chat about how it's voluntary.
Yeah.
She's asking. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me know, God is doing something special in her little heart here. Mm-hmm. Even as opposed to my other kids who've all been in the same conversations. And they all agree. But then she takes it a step further and she asks me in the quiet of her room, mm-hmm. like, would you pray for me, mommy? I really want that. You know, she like Jeepers. Takes it a step further. Mm-hmm. And it's voluntary. Mm-hmm. Like we all kind of limp along with our crap, sometimes becoming aware of it. And sometimes it lays there hidden for a long, long time. But when we see that something's off, that's how I took her request, was she saw, it's not quite right to me that I look around my friends and they all look like me. It felt mm-hmm. off to her. And so she's asking for something different.
I thought, man,
that is so good.
Yeah. My suspicion is that your house will be filled with kids who look different from your kids in the coming years. Like, I think about prom and how mm-hmm. all the cute kids take all the pictures in front of the house. Like, my prayer is that looks like, I don't know, I want to say a Benetton commercial because that's the only thing that I can think about. But my prayer is that there will be all kinds of shades and all kinds of hair textures and all kinds of heights and all kinds of abilities standing in front of your house at prom with your kids. Like, that's pretty incredible. I believe that God will overflow you and overflow your house because of Zoe's prayer. I really do. That's pretty incredible. I'm gonna join you in that prayer.
Please do. And I'm actually crying because you might not remember my prom story.
I do the dress. I know the dress. Oh, that's right. Yes. No. Yes, I do know the.
You totally gave me a word from the Lord right now, Latasha, because that would be so redeeming.
Yes.
That would be so redeeming for me.
Absolutely.
I went to my junior prom with a black guy who was a year older than me. So wonderful. He's still wonderful. He was just a great, great guy.
Yeah.
And no one was there to take my picture. Mm. So when you say that, like, my house is going to be the scene of picture taking at a prom.
Amen. Yes.
With a bunch of different people who look a bunch of different ways. Oh, that would be so redeeming for mm-hmm. me.
I just believe it because the funny thing is, God tends to, you know, he likes to give good gifts, and that is so mm-hmm. aligned with his heart it's so amazingly aligned with his heart. And the Bible is pretty clear. He says that he gives good gifts. And mm-hmm. so that's Zoe's prayer. He is going, I just believe that he will, you won't even be able to stand it. It'll be just incredible. Mm-hmm. The amount of, diversity differences that are going to flow through your house because of that one prayer. I think God is like, oh, okay, not a lot of people are asking. And you know what? I got a lot of space for it. There are some people, yeah. you know, whoever's asking, I got plenty of this. You want that, Zoe?
Yeah.
You go for it.
Yeah. And
that's
incredible. Thank you so much for saying that because mm-hmm. I know that was straight from God's heart for me because that experience of my junior prom and being so rejected in that way. And, it caused a permanent scar on my heart, having to confront racism in my own family, in my own home, in my own people, where I just didn't know it existed. I just didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I just think of so many of us are like that you don't have the cause to know until you know.
Right.
And but then you know. You know what I mean? Like
when you just know, you're compelled to do something.
Yes.
And I've been thinking about all the things that I don't know. That I find myself, ignoring or not having capacity to know. And yeah. you're right. When it is brought to your attention and mm-hmm. when God tells you, when God pricks your heart about it, because you know that it hurts his heart, you're just compelled to do something mm-hmm. different. God's timing, I think you're right. God's timing mm-hmm. is perfect. It really is perfect. And he has he's made promises that his plans are to prosper us and not to harm us. And mm-hmm. that's not pithy to me. Like I believe to hold him to his word. And
yep.
it doesn't mean that things aren't going to be bad and difficult and hard and make us cry mm-hmm. and, make us want to do whatever, take a nap, go to sleep, be angry, sit in the closet, whatever the thing is. But what I do really believe and what I hold God to his word around is that his timing is perfect and that he has a plan and it is for us to prosper and not to harm us
yeah.
and to give us a hope and a future. I just believe that. And so
a freaking man.
So
I
in the middle
believe it.
Of all of this, we had a staff meeting the other day and people, you know, asked the black person how you feel. And so people were chiming in how we felt. And one of the things I said was, I'm tired, I'm angry, but I am hopeful that God will honor his word. Mm-hmm. I just am. Or I can't believe it. Like, I just can't believe in God if I don't believe that he is going to honor his word. And I have seen him honor his word. I could cry just thinking about it. I have a girlfriend whose daughter, for real, should be dead. She literally should be dead. She's a year and some change now. And she just texted me to tell me that all is well. And when I tell you, it looked like, I mean, I remember us praying and laying our hands on her in her belt, in her mama's womb, and just telling her that we saw her and that we expect to see her walking and we expect to see her talking and all of these things. And so when I look at that, when I see him literally bringing a baby from the dead, mm-hmm. when
yes.
I see that, I can only believe that this is also something that he cares about and he has promised us. And so I have to go back into things that I recall, ways that he's blessed me. And you do this really good. You speak to gratitude and thankfulness mm-hmm. a lot. And so
yep.
I have to go back to remembering what he has done
yes.
to help me understand what he will do. And he just is faithful.
He cannot. This is what I tell myself when I struggle to believe. He cannot be unfaithful. God,
yeah.
He cannot be
right.
what he is not. Like,
that's right.
He cannot,
that's right.
He cannot do anything but be faithful to his word. He cannot do anything but look to prosper us and not to harm us. And
yes.
he is faithful. There's no unfaithfulness in him.
That is right.
So I keep going back and back to the character of God and to remembering, because I'm big on remembering because I know that so often God works in cycles and patterns, and and he gets some and then he comes back for the rest. Like, he doesn't, he's not a God that works on our, you know, fast, instant, first try timing. That's just not how I see him behave in the Bible much at all. And I see that he, I'm gonna royally mess this up, but you'll get the idea. There's some great quote from somebody who's not me saying something like, God looks really slow, and then it happens all at once. Like, that usually our impression of God is that he's, you gotta friggin' wait a really long time, and la la la, and we all end up doubting whether he's there and hearing and doing anything and caring, and then right, and then it goes whoom, like all, there's just a massive movement where you go, oh, that's what you were up to.
Right. You're looking back on your life, and you, in the moment, you couldn't understand why all these things happened. But now, sitting on the other side of whatever that problem is, and you look back and you think, oh, now I understand. It totally makes sense. In the moment, it makes no sense. And that's what I have to believe and rest on right now. It just don't make sense to me right now. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be pithy or anything, but I have been, you know, if you would have talked to me, which you did a couple days ago, I would have been in the pit. And today, you know, God continues to reveal and to soothe and to calm. He's a balm, right? He is a balm, and he continues to heal the things that I have felt were broken. And so today I actually feel hopeful in the middle of still uncertainty, because I know what he's done, and I know what he can do, and I know what he will do, because he's promised it. So,
you know what? God is a comforter, and that's not how I think of him very often. Mm-hmm. And it's so good for me to be reminded that he really is a comforter. And I think I sometimes default. It's good for us to question our concepts of God and check them against what who he says he is in scripture. Because I think my default is that he might be more interested in teaching me hard, painful lessons than he is in comforting me in my pain. And sometimes I have to question my mindset that he always wants to teach me some big, hard lesson that leads to suffering. And make no mistake, God will use suffering and sometimes ordain suffering to accomplish better and more fruitful lives for us. And he's a comforter.
Amen. Yes.
And I just, sometimes I lean too hard on the, you know, this is a God who wants to teach me a hard lesson, instead of this is my comforter, my friend in a time of trouble. The phrase that keeps coming to me over and over this particular 24-hour period, who knows how long it will last. Actually, I'll go week. It's been hanging around, but especially the last day, is that he is my rock and my salvation. That is over and over and over again, especially through the Psalms. He's my rock and my salvation. There's some personal things. There's some personal reasons that are off topic for us now.
Sure.
That I've been particularly meditating on those, but they are no less relevant for him being our rock and our salvation.
Yep.
And I just keep coming back to those two words. That's so comforting for me to
and
know that
he's consistent.
Yes.
Very consistent.
Yes. Anyway. Well,
I like it.
I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for, the chance to say that I love you, you know, that I love knowing you, and I love that I have a friend that will talk to me about this, where I can say, this woman left me a comment, and you can say, people don't talk to me like that, you know? You know, and we can compare viewpoints and lives, because the truth is we are living different lives in this country today. We just are. And so it's really so valuable to me that we can talk and that I can, I know your heart well enough to say, I love you. Because that matters. It changes everything.
I love you too, girl. I want to pray for Zoe.
Yes, let's do it. Thank you.
Let's pray, God.
Also, I'm sorry. I just cut your prayer off. Okay. I think it's long enough for you to see.
I see the prom dress.
That my prom dress is actually right here in my closet.
How do you have a million-year-old prom? Like, how? Why do you still have it? Why is it not at the Goodwill? Why is it not a pillow somewhere?
If you had a jewel-toned camo prom dress, would you give it away? I'm just saying. Would
stat.
You give it away?
I would. All right, I might make a pillow out of it. Yes, let's pray for Zoe.
Zoe might want to wear that one day.
Let's make a pillow. Let's just make a pillow out of it.
Okay.
For remembrance, okay? Don't let her wear it. I'll be at that prom. She will not wear it. Zoe, you're not wearing that dress.
Okay.
God, I thank you. Your word says that you created this day and we should rejoice and be glad. And amidst all the stuff, all the chaos, God, I just rejoice and I'm glad. I'm glad that I get to spend a couple of moments with my friend, your daughter, God, and I just bless her for the way that she has raised, the way that you have allowed her to raise her kids, her and her sweet husband. God, would you grant Zoe the desires of her heart? Your word says that if we delight ourselves in you, that you would grant us the desires of our hearts. And I just believe that Zoe, sweet life, delights herself in you, God. And so I thank you that the Patterson house is big enough to hold the crazy number of people, different people in all the different ways, not just in skin color, Lord, but in abilities and ways and thoughts and practices and where they live, God. I bless them that their house is big enough to contain the amount of people that they have. And I think about their front door and where all the pictures will be taken, every prom picture and first day of school picture and new buddy picture and all of that, Lord. And I just pray that that is the backdrop of multiple moments where Zoe's prayer is fulfilled. God, on that doorstep, Lord, would you fulfill the desires of that little girl's heart? God, would their family be blessed because they see differences in people and abilities and places and work and all those things? Just would their family be blessed by it, God? And God, just for your glory, Lord, not just so that they get to experience differences, Lord, but so that you would be glorified. We love you and we trust you in the midst of all of this, God. We thank you. Amen.
Amen. IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at @IKRpodcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.